Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer to the Lord. Most holy God, your word, Jesus Christ, spoke of your kingdom coming near. He told us all to repent and believe the good news. Help us and help those we know to truly repent and believe as we walk through Lent together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Most holy God, through Jesus, you reconciled us to yourself, and you also gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Remind us that we are Jesus' ambassadors to the world, especially to those nearby us. Give us the words to speak, that we might bring the message of reconciliation to our areas, which need it so badly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have given us the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Help us to use those gifts wisely and well. We ask that you would work through these gifts as we use them, so that hatred might turn to love, so that conflict might turn to peace, and so that death might turn to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray for all the nations of the earth, including our own. May we seek to live in peace with one another. And may there never be nuclear war anywhere ever again. We pray for our country's leaders, our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court, that you might grant them the desire and wisdom to reconcile one with another and to lead us according to your will for the common good of our nation's people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those we know who are lonely or frail, in spiritual or physical pain, or who are lost. We lift their names up to you now, out loud and in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, as we follow our Lord through his life and his teaching, we are blessed to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
From the prophet Isaiah, we hear these words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. From the New Testament, Mark, first chapter. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went out with James and John and at the home of Simon and Andrew. Andrew's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons.
Here ends the reading of God's holy word. When you join any church, whether it be Catholic or Orthodox or any variety of Protestant church, you are asked to make promises. And the promises are rather similar from church to church, considering differences in theology. The promises themselves that we make are really fairly similar as Christians. In the Presbyterian Church, there's four of them. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? In other words, we're saying we're at least not going to ally ourselves with evil. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior? All Christians everywhere of any variety confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Now that one is much harder. So we're going to talk about that. Being a disciple in Jesus' day meant that you lived with your master. You lived in his house. And the idea was that you learned from him in every circumstance, all the ordinary circumstances of life, as well as the extraordinary things that happen from time to time. And after you've lived with him for a few years, well, then you're assumed to know everything the master can teach, and then you can be a master and go out and teach your own disciples. It's not really very different from how things work in the martial arts world today. My daughter, for example, has a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and the reason she does not have a black belt is that if she were to get a black belt, she would have to spend hours every day with the master, and she would be expected to compete, and she would be expected to learn how to teach others and how to open up her own studio, and she would be expected to do so. Well, my daughter doesn't want to be a pro, so she doesn't have a black belt. She has a brown belt. But I'm surprised that the same kind of discipleship that Jesus did with his disciples, and which was common with rabbis at the time, is really not so much practiced in churches anymore. It's practiced in martial arts studios. A little interesting. I think, though, that Jesus' disciples must have been exhausted. As I was restudying Mark 1 for this sermon, what caught me was how much of chapter 1 of Mark happens within the space of 1 week. Take out your Bibles, turn to page 1523. We're going to take a look at that. Okay, so verse 16, Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon Peter and Brother Andrew, and he says, come follow me, and they do. And verse 19, we are told, verse 20, 19 and 20, he sees John and James, and he calls them, and without delay, they join with him. The way this is written, it's clear that this is all happening within the space of an hour or so. So this is just happening boom, 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 right after one another. Then after they have agreed, these four people, that they are going to be Jesus' disciple, which means a lot more than just they're going to go and listen to him preach every once in a while. After that, they go to Capernaum, which is where Jesus' home base was for the early part of his ministry. And then when the Sabbath came, Saturday, Jesus goes to the synagogue, he begins to teach, he casts out a demon, and then after that, verse 29, he goes to Simon Peter's house and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law who begins to wait on them. And then as soon as the Sabbath is over on Saturday evening, the people of Capernaum come and he heals dozens, maybe hundreds of people who are sick in body and in soul. And then at maybe 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, he gets up to go and pray by himself in a solitary place. And when the disciples finally find him and they say, hey, everybody wants more from you, he says, nope, we're going on. And all of this happens in the space of just a few days. He calls disciples, he goes and preaches, he casts out demons, he heals, he goes off and prays, and he moves on to another place. How much sleep do you suppose Jesus got during that week? How much time would he have had to sit down and eat during that week? That's a pretty busy week. Now, is that what disciples are supposed to do? Call their own disciples and preach and heal and pray and move on in less than a week with barely a moment to take care of themselves? Is that what we're supposed to do? Shall we start hauling out our calendars and comparing our calendars for the week with Jesus' calendar for the week? Shall we do that? Actually, no. Actually, no. The reason why is because Jesus was under a time crunch that we are not under. He had only 3 years to teach everyone what they needed to hear, to pass on what he was teaching to his disciples, and to save the world. And since he only had that very short time, that is what makes the difference between him and us. Also, of course, we don't have to save the world. That's already been done. But it's much easier to carry on something that has already been given than to start it in the first place. And it's much easier to just realize that we are part of a whole Christian body, if you will, that has been in existence for 2,000 years. So we are not anywhere near in the same time crunch that Jesus was. We do not have to make sure that every single second counts like Jesus did. So for us, I don't want to say that you need to be rushing around doing incredible amounts of things in 1 week's time. For us, what I want to say is we need to be aware of the balance in Jesus' life. There is an overall pattern in his life. And I think that keeping track of that pattern is going to be what is most helpful for us. The Gospel of Mark does not really talk very much about what Jesus did for those 25 years in between the time when they got back from Egypt and the time when he started ministering. However, we do get some clues about that from the book of Luke. So let's just look at that for a minute. When Jesus went and his family went to Jerusalem for the Passover and he was 12 years old, remember, he's sitting in the temple and he's not sitting with the students. It struck me that he is sitting among the teachers. He is 12 years old and he is sitting among the teachers in the temple in Jerusalem, the best rabbis in the whole country. And he is listening to them. He is asking them questions and they are asking him questions. He is acting like an equal to the best adult rabbis in the country. It is no wonder that his parents were astonished when they finally found him and saw what he was doing. So in order to be able to do that at age 12, Jesus had clearly been memorizing scripture and studying it and learning what the rabbis had to say about it since the time he was a baby practically. And as an adult, Jesus had, as we see throughout his ministry, the whole Old Testament in his mind. He could call up appropriate verses at any time, under any circumstances. Even when he was hanging from the cross, he's quoting scripture. So as God, Jesus is the Word. And as fully human, he is shaped by the Word, just as we are. The pattern of his life as a human being involved a period of preparation before his period of active ministry. Okay? Now, did you notice that at the beginning of my sermon I mentioned that there were four things that we promise as part of the church, and I only told you about three of them. All right, now it's time to talk about the fourth one. And it goes like this. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, Share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, this promise reflects the balance between preparation and ministry that Jesus showed throughout the full extent of his life here on this earth. Jesus himself spent time in preparation, a lot of time in preparation before his active ministry. And we are asked to share in that same pattern. So, for instance, share in its worship and ministry. All right, well, worship is many things. It's about allowing God to lift up our hearts when we are feeling sorrowful. It's about listening to God in Scripture. It's about connecting with other members of Christ's body. It's about thriving spiritually and thriving physically, too. Don't know if you had a chance yet to read the front page of the Nugget yet, but there have been some interesting studies done recently on how much longer people who attend church every single week live than people who don't. It's really remarkable. Anyway, so yes, worship is about all of that. And it is also a time of preparation. We are here to be fed and strengthened and nourished by the Holy Spirit through sacrament, through word, so that we can go out and do our ministry, whether that be cleaning up after coffee or picking up free bread or comforting a family in a memorial service. That promise incorporates the pattern of Jesus' life. And it continues on, through your prayers and gifts. Okay, prayer is a time of preparation, and it is a critically important time, because through prayer, Christians can connect themselves with God. We can be conduits for the work of the Holy Spirit within us, and then that can flow out through us into the outer world, so God can be at work in us and through us. There is no Christian ministry anywhere that doesn't involve prayer. Prayer is what we do before we go and start doing something else, regardless of what that something else is. And again, your study and service. Well, we covered that. Jesus studied before he served. God speaks to us through the Bible. How, no matter how old we are, no matter how long we have been a Christian, no matter what our station in life, it does not matter. Bible study is really important. Jesus studied it. Doesn't that mean we should do that too? And we have lots of opportunities for Bible study. There are Bible studies on four different days of the week at different times of the day. So anything that, if you have a tight schedule, there's probably still going to be something which will work for you so that you can come to Bible study. It's important. And once we are prepared through study, then service is not something that we resent. It's an opportunity to show gratitude for all that has been given to us, all that we have soaked in and learned. All right, so the third promise that we make asks us, well, we promise to be Jesus' faithful disciple, which is a difficult promise to make given the activity of Jesus' ministry. Fortunately, we are not asked to do the same things that Jesus did. We are asked to follow the same pattern that Jesus did. We are expected also to prepare and serve. Prepare and serve. Not just prepare and not just serve, but to do both. The fourth promise shows us how to do that. Worship and ministry, prayers and gifts, study and service. The promises that you make when you join a church are not intended to cage you in or squash your spirit. They are intended to be a support so that you can grow in your spiritual life. I would ask, since we have been thinking about how our worship promises help us to pattern our lives after Jesus' life, I'm wondering if that's something that we might just want to reaffirm right now. Anybody who wants to reaffirm the promises that you made when you joined the church, please stand. You certainly don't have to if you don't want to. And anyone who has not yet made those promises, that's fine. You can stand too, and you can say them along with the rest of us if you want. Just tell me if you do that. Okay. Brothers and sisters, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin, and do you renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and his love? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you be faithful members of this congregation, share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Merciful God, you have heard our voices and our hearts. Help us to keep the promises that we have reaffirmed or have made. Help us to pattern our lives after Jesus's, to prepare and to serve, to worship and to serve, to pray and to give. Help us to keep that balance always in our lives. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. One of the ways that we prepare to minister in the Lord's name is by celebrating the sacraments that he has given to us. We are blessed that Jesus gave us this supper and blessed that the Holy Spirit works through this supper to make him real in our hearts and in our bodies. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are welcome to his supper. Let's pray. Lord our God, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. In your wisdom, you have made all things, and you sustain them by your power. You formed us in your image to love and serve you. But we forgot your promises. We abandoned your commandments. In your mercy, you did not reject us, but you still claim us as your own. When we were slaves in Egypt, you freed us and led us through the waters of the sea. You fed us with heavenly food in the wilderness and satisfied our thirst from desert springs. On the holy mountain, you gave us our law to guide us in your way. Through the waters of the Jordan, you led us into the land of your promise, and you sustained us in our times of trial. You spoke through prophets, calling us to turn from our willful ways to new obedience and righteousness. You sent your only Son to be the way to eternal life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices together with all the faithful of every time and every place, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way and, though tempted, was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death on the cross, and by your power, he was raised to new life. In his dying and in his rising, you gave birth to the church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with each one of us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. Help us to be obedient to your call, to love all your children, to do justice, to show mercy, and to live in peace. Guide us through the desert of life. Quench our thirst with living waters. Satisfy our hunger with the bread of heaven. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until that promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. For it is through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the glory of the Holy Spirit, that all honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of him, as we pass the trays, please say to one another as you pass the trays, the body of Christ is given for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which is shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes again in glory. In remembrance of Jesus, as you pass the trays to one another, please serve one another by saying, "The blood of Christ is shed for you." Servers, please come forward. Together we all drink of the one cup of salvation. Will you join with me now in our prayer after communion? Grant unto us, O God, the fullness of your promises. Where we have been weak, grant us your strength. Where we have been confused, grant us your clarity. Where we have been distraught, grant us your comfort. Where we have been dead, grant us your life. Apart from you, O Lord, we are nothing. In you and with you, we can do all things. Thanks be to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go out into the world in peace. Pattern your lives on the pattern of Jesus' life as his faithful followers and disciples. You can do this because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is here with you now and will be with you always. Amen. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share the peace of Christ with one another before heading over for refreshments.